जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे, जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे, जय राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे, जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद, नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल, हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, sorry, Canto 6, Chapter 2, entitled Ajamil Delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Text number 16. Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Prayas Chittani Papanam Prayas Chittani Papanam Gyatvoktani Maharshibi Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Prayaschittani Papanam Gyatvoktani Maharshibi Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Prayaschittani Papanam Gyatvoktani Maharshibi
Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha
Guru Naam Cha
Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha
Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Gyatvoktani Maharshibi Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Paschittani Papana Yatoktani Maharshibi Lagu Naam Cha Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Paschittani Papana Yatoktani Maharshibi Matajis Guru Naam Cha Lagu Naam Cha Guru Nicha Lagu Nicha Nasani Papa Yatvokstaha Himashibi Guru Naam Heavy Cha And Lagu Naam Light. Cha, also. Guruni, heavy. Cha, and. Laguni, light. Cha, also. Prayaschittani, the process of atonement. Papanam, of sinful activities. Gyatva, knowing perfectly well. Uktani, have been prescribed. Maharishibi by great sages. Translation. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes an incident that took place when Samba was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Samba, fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhan. And since according to the Kshatriya custom, one is not offered a Kshatriya's daughter unless he displays his chivalrous act valor, Sambha abducted her. Consequently, Sambha was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Sambha's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapur trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled and Sambha married Duryodhan's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of a Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sense, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram or Narayan. Text number 17. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the Personality of Godhead, he is immediately freed from all such contaminations. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, Bhakti Parishana Bhava Viraktir Anyatra. Devotional service is so powerful that one who performs devotional service is immediately freed from all sinful desires. All desires within this material world are sinful because material desire means sense gratification, which always involves an action that is more or less sinful. Pure bhakti, however, is anya abhilashita shunya. In other words, it is free from material desires, which result from karma and jnana. One who is situated in devotional service no longer has material desires and therefore he is beyond sinful life. Material desires should be completely stopped. Otherwise, although one's austerities, penances and charity may free one from sin for the time being, one's desires will reappear because his heart is impure. Thus, he will act sinfully and suffer. 18. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes, without fail, all reactions of one's sinful actions. Fire will act, regardless of whether handled by an innocent child or by someone well aware of its powers. For example, if a field of straw or dry grass is set afire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire or by a child who does not, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one chants the holy name, he will become free from all sinful reactions. If a person unaware of the effective potency of a certain medicine takes that medicine or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, because its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, if one chants knowingly or unknowingly, or chanting with the chanting will definitely be very effective. In the Western countries where the Hare Krishna movement is spreading, learned scholars and other thoughtful men are realizing its effectiveness. For example, Dr. J. Stilson Judah, a learned scholar, has been very much attracted to this movement because he has actually seen that it is turning hippies addicted to drugs into pure Vaishnavas who voluntarily become servants of Krishna and humanity. Even a few years ago, such hippies did not know the Hare Krishna mantra, but now they are chanting it and becoming pure Vaishnavas. Thus, they are becoming free from all sinful activities such as illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. This is practical proof of the effectiveness of the Hare Krishna movement, which is supported in this verse. One may or may not know the value of the chanting in the Hare Krishna mantra, but if somehow or other one chants, he will be immediately purified. Just as one who takes a potent medicine will feel its effect regardless of whether he takes it knowingly or unknowingly. Hare Krishna. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadikar Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. In this series of verses, this is a section of Ajamil, and in the series of verses we are seeing the glories of the holy names. Prabhupada is talking about how powerful the holy name is in purifying the heart. So we will just spend some time on meditating on the Lord's holy names and its beauty. So in Kali Yuga, in the age in which we are, the process has been very, very simplified. It's not a complicated process anymore. In the previous ages, the process was very complicated because people had more capacity and more intelligence, more ability, more time. There are so many things that they had more. But does it mean that the effect or the result is less? Does it mean that in the previous ages, people reach Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, and in today's age, because we are not able to do complicated processes, you reach 10 kilometers before Vaikuntha, you know. You don't get to enter into Vaikuntha, you know. That's not how it is. Though you are doing less, you have the same result, same end result. So there are certain things that cannot be replicated. Like say, for example, the spiritual world cannot be replicated. In the sense, the original spiritual world that is there in the spiritual realms, there is only one spiritual world. Everyone who has to reach there will reach there only. Like Vishwamitra created a parallel heaven, right? You cannot create a parallel spiritual world. Nobody can dare to create a parallel spiritual world. Heaven is still part of the material world only, right? So the whole idea is that in this yuga, God has simplified the marga, but he has not compromised the destination. The marga, the process is very simple, but the destination is not compromised at all. So why is Krishna helping us with a very simple process? The reason is because usually parents are a little more compassionate on the child who is a little weaker, isn't it? You will always find, in one family, two children, one child is a little weaker and the other child is very, very accomplished and very, very smart. Typically what happens is parents end up giving more affection to the weaker child. Why? Because that child needs more encouragement. That child needs more inspiration, isn't it? And the child needs to feel special. So people in Kali Yuga are the weakest entities in the creation from the point of view of sequence. And naturally, if you're dealing with the weakest, God is kind enough to allow weak children to benefit by a marga which is very, very simple and very, very easy to practice. Bhagavan has two important qualities, bhogatva and rakshatatva. Bhogatva means you can enjoy the Lord, and rakshatatva means you can experience the protection of the Lord. So usually both these things don't exist in the same person or the same person. There are some people who are sweet and there are some people who are powerful. Sweet people are not powerful and powerful people are not sweet, isn't it? If you find powerful people in this world, you feel like staying away from them because there's fire there, it's like really intense. And if you find very sweet people, don't expect too much from them, They can't, the way they reciprocate is a very sweet way, not necessarily from achievement point of view. So bhoga and rakshatva combined together can only exist in the Lord. And therefore, bhogyatvam means the Lord is so sweet, you can enjoy him. Just like you can enjoy a Mysore Pak or a Rasgulla or a Gulab Jamun, Similarly, you can enjoy the Lord. So, Lord is an extremely sweet person. Is he milk or is he made of milk? What exactly is he that we are saying that we can enjoy him? What does it really mean by that? The understanding is, the acharyas, they have very interesting ways of talking about the sweetness of the Lord. There is a particular temple where there is a deity of Narsingadev. It's a yoga Narsinga deity. And the Narsingadev is so sweet looking. You usually don't talk about Narsingadev being sweet looking he's very dangerous, isn't it? But this Acharya, he is so much in love with this particular form of Narsingadev, he has given him a new name. He calls him as Akkarakani. So the word Akkarakani, Akkara means sugar. And the word Kani means fruit. So the Lord, he is being called as Akkarakani, means sugar fruit. Have you ever seen a sugar fruit? Is there anything existing called a sugar fruit? There is nothing called a sugar fruit existing. But the Acharya purposely gives this name to the Lord. You know why? Because he doesn't want to give a name that exists. So this Acharya, he's saying his definition of how sweet the Lord is. Suppose you take sugar, which is sweet. and you plant it in the ground. And from that sugar, you water it and a tree grows. And a beautiful, huge tree grows. And on top of that tree, beautiful fruits are hanging. Imagine how sweet those fruits will be. So the Acharya is saying, that's how sweet the Lord is. He's like, he's sugar, fruit, basically. So, the point is that the Lord is so sweet that His sweetness is unparalleled in this world. So, the same Lord that is so sweet, He's called as Bhogyatvam. That means you can enjoy Him. But the same Lord is also Rakshatvam. That means He is our Savior. Bhogyatvam means He is our enjoyment. And Rakshatvam means He is our Savior. So He is a Savior, but He is also something that we can enjoy. These two usually don't go together. Like say for example, you can enjoy sweets and a gun, a pistol protects you. Can you enjoy the pistol? Can you enjoy a gun? Can you enjoy a sword? Can you sleep with a gun? You know, keeping next to you. Can you sleep with a gun? Can you sleep with a sword? Good chance you will die, isn't it? Anything can happen in the night. So something that is a protector, you can't enjoy it. And something that is something that you enjoy, it doesn't protect you. Can halwa protect you? You have a plate of halwa with you. Can that plate of halwa protect you from some thieves and from some dacoits, from some bad elements? Can that halwa protect you? Obviously not. You can't take the... If a dog is chasing you, what do you do with the halwa? You know, if you have a stick, the stick is useful, isn't it? So, here, the interesting thing about the Supreme Lord is that He is not only a protector, but He is a sweet protector. He is a very sweet protector, basically. So now, the idea of sweetness and protection, usually they don't go together. In this world, there is something called Ishitvam. Sorry, there is something called Ishtam. The word Ishtam means what I want, what I love. And there is something called Anishtam. Anishtam means what I don't want, what I don't love, isn't it? Right now, it is Ishtam in terms of atmosphere, temperature, right? 2 hours later, can you sit here? Impossible, isn't it? It becomes Anishtam. So the same place which is Ishtam right now, till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, becomes Anishtam at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right? When you are in winter season, the sun is Ishtam. It gives you some warmth. The same sun in summer season becomes Anishtam because it gives you heat. So Ishtam and Anishtam both are always there in our life. Like say for example, you know, 2 years back I went to Chardham all the way up in the mountains. And it was May, you know, first week of May. And when we were there on the mountains, we were wearing like 3 layers, 4 layers of sweaters. And no matter how many layers you wear, it's still less only, you know. You wear one cap, you wear 2 caps on top, you know, you wear gloves. So many layers and still you're shivering. But as you come down from the mountain towards Haridwar, you slowly start taking out one layer, you know. And by the time you reach Delhi, my God, you can't even wear one sweater on your body. It becomes too hot, isn't it? So what was Ishtam sometime back, those 3-4 layers, it actually protecting you. You loved it, isn't it? The same thing becomes Anishtam later. That is the nature of this world, basically. In this world, there is no permanent Ishtam and there is no permanent Anishtam. There is nothing permanent in this world. Everything is temporary only. But if there is a place which is permanent Ishtam, and if there is a situation where, you know, which where I never want to get out from, That's the spiritual world. The spiritual world is a place where you will never have anishtam ever. In this material world, there will be ishtam and ishtam both. There will be sometimes like, sometimes dislike. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But in the spiritual world, there will never be an anishtam. It will always be ishtam, basically. And the Lord, He is so kind, He gives us such a place. He gives us such a place, basically. So, when we say that the Lord is our protector, what does it mean? When we say the Lord is our Savior, what does it mean? What does a Savior do? The Savior saves you from that which you don't like and helps you with that which you like, isn't it? Suppose someone is kidnapped and he is kept in some locked place. What does a Savior do? Savior saves you from that anishtam. You don't like to be in that locked place, isn't it? You don't like to be in a place where you're not loved and you're not cared for. That's anishtam for you. And the Savior brings you from there and puts you in a place where you experience love and affection, where you are cared, where you feel safe, where you feel, you know, emotionally nourished, isn't it? And that's what the Lord does. The moment you take shelter of the Lord, the Lord puts you in a state of permanent ishtam. So now, when we talk about the Supreme Lord being both a bhogatva and a rakshatva, how do you understand this? The Ramayana gives a very interesting and a very beautiful way of explaining this through a story. When Lord Ram was in Rishimukh Mountains, he reached to meet Sugriv there. Lord Ram met Hanumanji. And this is the first time Hanumanji saw Lord Ram. And Hanumanji, when he saw Ram, he realized this person is a sword and honey at the same time. You can't lick a sword, can you? You can lick honey, you know. But the sword protects you. So Hanumanji felt this person is a combination of a sword and honey. I can enjoy him also, but at the same time he can save me also. So when Hanumanji saw Ram, he had some experiences that were very interesting, which will help us understand this whole concept. So there is something called ruchi, which means something that is tasty. And then there is something called suchi. Suchi means something that is clean, pure, basically. Suchi is purity and ruchi is taste. In this world, you usually cannot get both together. Tasty things are not necessarily from the most purest places. In most of the restaurants around the world, they do not allow you to enter the kitchen. You know why? Because if you enter there, you will never eat the food over there. You know? Because the places over there are highly, highly dirty. From a suchi point of view, there is no suchi there. But from a ruchi point of view, there is a lot of ruchi in the food that comes there. So people love food which is junk simply because it is tasty, isn't it? But can you get a place, can you get something that is tasty and pure? That's the Supreme Lord. He's tasty also, but he's pure also. So, in most people's houses, the kitchen is pure, but food, very dangerous. You know? No guarantee taste will be there. You know? Every day, you have to eat and check if salt is fine. No guarantee. In restaurants, all guaranteed taste will be perfect. But there is no guarantee of suchi there. Right? So when Hanumanji saw darshan of the Lord, he saw that the Lord is not wearing any ornaments. He saw that the Lord is not wearing any costly clothes. He is not wearing any jewels, no crown, nothing on his head. So Hanumanji saw that the Lord was like a tapasvi in the forest. So Hanumanji asked Lord Ram, he said, "My dear Lord, why is your shoulder bare?" So Lord Ram was wearing a deer skin on his shoulders. So one shoulder of his was covered, and the other shoulder of his was bare. There was no clothes, no jewelry also on the other side. So Hanumanji is thinking, why is the Lord not wearing, not covering this part of his body? So he thinks of different reasons why he is keeping that particular shoulder bare. First thing is that Hanumanji is a little concerned about Ram. Usually ornaments are used to beautify people, correct? So when someone wears jewelry, they look more beautiful. But the interesting thing is that jewelry can be worn only when you wear clothes. If somebody is naked and wears jewelry, it looks ugly, isn't it? Not exactly beautiful, you know. So Hanumanji is thinking, why is the Lord not wearing clothes also, and he's not wearing jewelry also? So in his analysis, Hanumanji first feels, he's thinking that these jewelries and clothes are usually used to beautify human beings. But when it comes to the Lord, the jewelry and clothes is not used to beautify him, it is used to decrease his beauty. Because the beauty of the Lord without jewelry and clothes is much, much more than beauty of the Lord with jewelry and clothes. So then why do we put jewelry and clothes? Because the devotees are concerned that if someone sees the Lord without jewelry and clothes, they might put some nazar on the Lord. They might put some evil eye on the Lord. You know? So they decrease the Lord's beauty by putting jewelry and clothes. So it's not that we are beautifying him, we're actually decreasing his beauty by putting jewelry and clothes. We're trying to protect him. So Hanumanji is thinking, maybe the reason Ram is not wearing jewelry and clothes on one side of his body and wearing on one side is because he wants to decrease his beauty on one side and increase his beauty on the other side. But why does the Lord want to increase his beauty on one side? And there is a reason behind that. Hanumanji is thinking, see, like if you have gone for Abhishek, what happens during Abhishek ceremony? In Abhishek ceremony, the Lord hardly wears any clothes and jewelry, right? Very bare minimum clothes and jewelry, and he's given a very beautiful bath with so many juices and so many ingredients, isn't it? Have you ever invited people saying that I'm having a bath, please come and watch me? You know, it's the most ugly scene in the world, isn't it? People will faint if they see you having a bath naked. But the Lord is so amazing that when he has a bath, there is public invitation. Please come. Why we have a bath? Because we are dirty. And when we have a bath, we get cleansed. Right? We get cleansed of that dirt. We are very, very dirty. And we need to become pure. We need to become suchi. That's why we have a bath. But the Lord is already pure. Why does he have a bath? The reason he has a bath is because when you see him having a bath, your eyes that are contaminated will become pure. So by him having a bath, your dirty eyes are becoming pure. So we are not giving bath to the Lord to purify him. He is already pure. He is already the purest. And when we see him having a bath, our eyes which are filled with contamination gets purified. And that is the whole idea behind Abhishek. And now Hanumanji is still wondering, why is little bit of his shoulders blank? And then suddenly Hanumanji feels ashamed, because he realizes that this has something to got to do with me. You know, it is said that the Lord's beauty, as I said, I explained to you all that when he is not with clothes, he is more than with clothes, right? The Lord has a very interesting strategy of winning hearts of people, especially those who are not devotees. So the first strategy the Lord has to win people's hearts is that he sends the message of the Gita, the Ramayana, the Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata. When you hear the message, you become so inspired. Chalo, let me surrender to the Lord. There are some people who don't surrender by hearing the message of the Lord. For such people, the Lord sends the Acharyas, great devotees of the Lord. When you see an Acharya, or you hear an Acharya, you associate with an Acharya, you feel so inspired. Chalo, let me surrender. There are some people, after hearing Acharya also, they don't surrender. For such people, the Lord has to adopt another strategy. These are the hardest nuts to crack, you know. So the Lord, He uses His own beauty to attract such people. There is a place in South India called Melkote. And in Melkote, there is a procession, you know, where they take Lord on a palki. And in the procession, during the procession, they keep a pillow at the back of the Lord to cover the back of the Lord, basically. Why do they cover the back of the Lord? It is explained, more attractive than the front beauty of the Lord is the back beauty of the Lord. The front beauty of the Lord, at least somebody can handle. But the back beauty of the Lord, people can't handle only. It is so beautiful. Therefore, they have to keep it covered all the time. But during that whole procession, when they are taking the Lord in the procession, for 1 second they remove that pillow. And the moment they remove the pillow, many devotees faint at the back, it seems. Because they are so amazed by the beauty of the Lord. And therefore, Hanumanji is thinking, this is the last strategy of the Lord to attract the conditioned soul's heart. He exposes himself. He shows a part of his body. He shows a part of his beauty. And he does that only to those people who will never become devotees otherwise. So Hanumanji is thinking, am I so bad? Am I such a hard-hearted person that the Lord has to actually expose a part of his body to attract my heart and to melt my heart? So Hanumanji is feeling, you know, he's feeling so bad. So this is the way in which the great devotees of the Lord enjoy the Lord. Look at this exchange between, you know, the Lord and his devotee, right? Such a beautiful exchange, isn't it? The Lord is trying his own ways of capturing the heart of the devotees, and the devotees are finding their own ways of enjoying the beauty of the Lord, enjoying the consciousness, the mood of the Lord, and enjoying the nectar of the Lord. Bhagavan has one limitation. The limitation is that he is 100 carat gold. Oh, sorry, what do you call it? 24 carat gold, right? Sorry. He is a 24 carat gold. Pure gold. So when you have a 24 carat pure gold block or a brick, what can you do with it? You can't do anything with it, isn't it? But when they make ornaments, what do? They make it a little impure, isn't it? They decrease the purity of that 24 carat. They make it 22, they make it 16, they make it 18. And then they make gold ornaments. That you can wear, right? So Bhagavan is like 24 carat gold, pure gold brick. You can't do anything with it. You can only see it for display purpose, basically, you know. But if you actually want to experience God, and if you want to, you know, make God a part of your life, you need to decrease that little bit. And that's what the holy name is. The holy name is a little more accessible to us. It's 16, 18 karat gold, basically, which you can wear, which you can use, which you can actually chant all the time. You can't carry the deity in the altar, you know, with you. Can you carry it everywhere, you know? He has 24 karat gold. You have to just keep him on the altar and worship him there. But the holy name of the Lord is the Lord only, but he is accessible to us. He is like 16, 18 karat gold. You can make into all kind of ornaments. I mean, our devotees are so expert. Any film song you give, they'll make Hare Krishna Mahamantra out of it, you know. And most people, when they hear, you know, ISKCON songs, they suddenly remember their Bollywood days, you know. Arre, ye gana. So, I mean, it's an ornamented way of wearing the same, you know, holy name, right? So that holy name of the Lord gives you the facility to wear him in the way you want, to access him in the way you want, to deal with him in the way you want. And therefore, when the great devotees of the Lord compare the Lord and his holy names, they realize the holy names are much, much more accessible than the Lord himself. There is do's and don'ts when you deal with the Lord, isn't it? You know, especially now everybody's getting Brahman initiation. So many rules explained. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. But when it comes to the holy name, you can do anything. Just chant. Isn't it? Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna nivesha. Somehow or the other, engage your mind in Krishna's holy names. Somehow or the other. There is no rules. No hard and fast rules of chanting the holy names, isn't it? So now how come the same Lord, when he is in the deity form, so many rules and regulations? And how come the same Lord, when he is in the holy name form, there is no rules and regulations? As simple as that. The Lord comes down to our level and makes himself accessible to our level. And it's not that when you follow all these rules and regulations, you reach Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And when you chant the holy name, you don't reach. You reach outside the spiritual world. No. You still reach the same destination. The same destination is there, but the marga is less complex. It's less difficult, less tedious, basically. There was one very interesting story that that explains the glory of the holy names in a much more profound way. I'll tell you two stories. One is when Sugriv went to Vali to fight against him. See, he went to Vali and said, "Vali, come out." In that voice of Sugriv, Tara sensed some confidence. He said, "This guy, he has got beaten up so many times. How come this fellow is coming and with so much confidence calling you for a fight?" So Tara told Vali, "Is something wrong with this fellow? He has some extra confidence today, you know." So where did that confidence come from? It's from Ram. This is known as Nami Balam. Nami Balam means, Nami is the one whose name we are chanting. He's called Nami. Nama is the name of the Lord. And Nami means the person whose name we are chanting. So Sugriva went with Nami Balam. He went with the strength that Ram is behind me. So many people, when they go to face their enemies, when they go to face the world, when they go to face all dangers, they know that God is behind me. With that faith and with that kind of belief, they go and challenge. I mean, Vali is so powerful. We are so weak. How come we are going and giving, you know, having confidence? Like there are many, many preachers who go and, you know, give lectures. And then they say, "Ask any question." What the hell? I mean, you know, what capacity you have to answer any question, you know? We know it is not my intelligence. Behind me, the Lord is there, you know? And because the Lord is there behind me, I can say with confidence, ask any question. It's not that you know all the answers. It's not that you have all the answers. It's just that we have confidence that behind me, the Lord is there. That is known as Nami Balam. But the Acharyas teach us Nama Balam. The power of the name itself. So just like the Lord is so powerful and he's standing behind us all the time, the name of the Lord is as powerful. And therefore, the Acharyas, they say, if somebody chants the name of the Lord, you can challenge Yamaraj himself. Ajamil story. It's exactly that, right? One fellow chanted the name of the Lord. And that too, he didn't even chant the name of the Lord. He was chanting the name of his son, which happens to be the name of the Lord. And to the extent that he was able to challenge the Yamadutas, unheard of. Unheard of, isn't it? And that's the confidence that comes the moment you take shelter of Nama, the holy name of the Lord. And therefore, we have the option of choosing the 22 karat gold Nami Balam, the Lord himself, or the 16-18 karat gold Nami Balam, the name of the Lord. One time, there was a fisherman who was fishing, and in the mouth of the fish, when he cut open the fish to cook, he found a huge diamond. It was like Obviously, now it was a stone inside the mouth of the fish. He had never seen anything like this. So he knew it must be a costly stone. He took the stone and he went to a jeweler. He showed the stone to the jeweler. It was an unpolished diamond. The jeweler saw it, immediately understood, this is priceless. The jeweler asked this man, how much do you want? The jeweler was a smart guy. He knew that this guy doesn't know the value of this particular stone. So he asked him only, how much do you want for this stone? This guy, fisherman, his daily expense is 100 rupees. So he thought, if I get 100 rupees for my one day's expense, I am happy. He said, I want 100 rupees. The jeweler, he realized this guy is a fool. He gave him 150 rupees. And this fellow became so happy, I am sorted. He ran. This jeweler, then he worked on the stone. Polished it like anything. Really, made it shine. And then he took that stone, after it was really polished well, he took the stone to the king of the land. And he gave the stone. Every side of the stone was a different color, and the king was amazed. He saw that stone. And the king asked the jeweler, how much you want? Now imagine, a man who doesn't have knowledge asking a price, and a man who has knowledge asking a price. This fellow said, I want 1 crore rupees. The king said, I'll give you 1.5 crores. Take, go. And the jeweler went mad. He said, wow, I never ever thought I'll be able to get so much money. He took the money and went, really became happy. What do you think the king did with it? You think the king went and gave it to another king who was much richer than him? Yeah. No. The king enjoyed it himself. He wore it on his crown. And he made a beautiful crown of it with a diamond on it, And he enjoyed it himself. That jewel is the holy name. That jewel is the holy name of the Lord. Different people have different capacity to enjoy the holy name, to experience the holy name. Somebody is like this fisherman, gets the holy name. He doesn't know the value of it only. What he'll do with the holy name? It's too ordinary for him. He can't understand its value only. He can't understand what is the benefit of the holy name. He says, I'll chant the holy name. Please give me in return some material benefit. Get my son married. Get my daughter admission in some college. I want a Tesla car. These are like the most pettiest benefits of the holy name that you can ask for, you can think of, because you don't know what the name can give you. And then there are some people who are jewelers, who actually understand the value of their holy name, and they use that holy name, that exchange their holy name for Vaikuntha, reaching the spiritual world. I'll chant the holy names of the Lord. I want to go back to the spiritual world. And they get that also. And then there are some people like the king, who are another level of devotees. They don't exchange the holy name for anything. They enjoy it themselves. They say, I don't want, material thing, benefits. Nadanam na janam na sundarim. I don't want any material benefits. Nor do I want to go to the spiritual world also. I just want to enjoy Krishna. These two syllables have so much nectar that I wish I had thousands of mouths, millions of mouths and millions of ears so that I can experience Krishna completely. So here in this series of verses, we are seeing how much the holy names can benefit us. But whether you want to enjoy the holy name, whether you want to exchange the holy name for something priceless, or you want to exchange the holy name for something petty, that's up to us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Anyone has any questions or comments? We can't understand. Because we don't understand only what the meaning of enjoying the holy name is. Because we are not even at that level. But I'm sure you would have seen some devotees in your life. When you see them chant, you realize they are really enjoying the holy names, right? I mean, we may not experience what they're experiencing, but by seeing them, we understand they're experiencing something, isn't it? That's a level that we will reach at some point in our life, or maybe in few lifetimes, basically. Then only we can understand what it means. For now, it is just theoretical for us. It's both ways, Prabhu. See, the thing is, of the many reasons of Lord Chaitanya's coming in the material world, one of the reasons is Krishna is seeing Radha. She's enjoying more bliss than him. Krishna is thinking, what is she enjoying? She's serving me, but she's enjoying more than me. The Lord comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to only experience what she's experiencing. Which means what? The devotees are experiencing something, na? They're experiencing something more pleasure than the Lord himself, isn't it? So that's the whole idea. So when you serve the Lord, you experience pleasure. And that pleasure the Lord wants to experience. So how much that is, isn't it? Very, very grateful and honored to be here and able to serve you all in some way. Thank you very much. And whatever I spoke is more or less theoretical from my point of view. It's not that I have realizations of this, but hopefully someday we will have. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.